Can we just pray? Father, we just thank you for our church community. We thank you for one another. It's made up of all, we're all different. We're all in different journeys of our walk with you, and we have different life situations, and we all understand that. Nobody's the same, but we do pray, Lord, for our church community, that we will love one another, Lord, that we'll care for one another. And we pray, Lord, that wherever we are in life, that we'll be strong in the Lord. And we do pray for that marriage boost. We pray, Lord, it will be just life-changing for our families and marriages here at Real Life Church. And Lord, as we just turn to your word now, we pray you'll speak to our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Well, let's get started. But before we get started, I've actually got a photograph I just want to show everybody. Actually, no, the photograph, it's slide two. You're going too far ahead. You guys are just so keen. And just, sorry, if you could just indulge me for a moment. That's Luca, our one and only grandson, and Ben and Cherie, they got their friend, a beautiful girl called Ruthie, to look after our grandson, and at the same time, she decided to clean her house. And so she put my grandson in a bucket and carried him around. She's a vegan, so he's chewing on a carrot, and I was a bit concerned about the one on the right there that he'd topple off, but anyway, I'm not there, so I can't do anything about it, but he looks pretty good, doesn't he? Okay, we've got that out of the way. What a cutie. Amen. Well, yesterday was an exciting day because for many people here at Real Life Church, yesterday was the 40th and final day of our Red Letter Challenge. Yay, we did it! And so I want to say to everybody who's participated in Red Letter Challenge, which is lots and lots of people, I think there's been well over 200 people who've been participating in it. Not everybody has, and I get that, but a lot of people have. And I just want to say well done for sticking with it, and you made it right to the end, so that's good. And it's been really a wonderful challenge, hasn't it? Who's actually enjoyed it? Yeah, I've enjoyed it too, you know? Who's found some parts of it to be a struggle? Anybody get convicted? Who thinks their marriage partner should have been convicted? So this is kind of a recap today, but and if you know you haven't bought into the Red Letter Challenge, just I pray that this message is a blessing to you, and if you're a visitor, I pray this message is a blessing to you. By the way, there's going to be I'm sharing this message with three other people. How about that? So as soon as you get sick of my voice, there'll be somebody else. Amen. But for those who have missed the Red Letter Challenge, the Red Letter Challenge has all been about taking the words of Jesus, and that's the words that are written in red in your Bible, taking the words of Jesus and putting them into practice. And so for the last 40 days, we've been on a journey of putting the red words of Jesus into practice. And doing the words of Jesus has been and continues to be a really big challenge. I actually found it quite hard at times. Some parts of the Red Letter Challenge I found I really struggle with. Other parts I found a bit easier. So just before I continue, just drop the volume down, Ryan. Just drop it down, say 10%, and then give me 5% in the fallbacks. Increase 5%. Drop the volume on the front of the house down 10%. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. How's that? I sound good? Well done, mate. Well done. Yeah, he's one of our great volunteers, by the way, down the back. So put your hands together for Ryan. Keeping the pastor happy is a strain for anybody. Amen. Yeah. But you know, keeping the red and following the red words of Jesus is a real challenge, because the truth is, the red letters of Jesus, the words of Jesus, what he taught, is really counterculture to the world in which we live, in which I live. But why would anyone, or why would a church like Real Life Church here in just a fairly typical suburb, why would we want to put the words of Jesus into practice? Why would we do that? Well, Jesus said this. He said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, they're the red words in your Bible, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But this next part is really interesting. It says, Jesus then continued, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So what Jesus is saying is, if you want your life, if you want your house, if you want your home, if you want your life to stand up even when the storms come your way, and we all know that storms in life come to everybody. Nobody's immune from the storms of life. So Jesus is saying, if you want your life to stand when the storms of life come your way, then put into practice the words that Jesus is teaching. That's what Jesus was really saying. And that sounds like very wise advice to me. Absolutely. Absolutely. Secondly, Jesus also repeatedly said to his would-be disciples, come, follow me. And in our Christian culture, the average Christian, and I'm stereotyping here, I know that, and it's not everybody, but in the Christian culture, in our country today, the average Christian is very much focused on wanting to feel the presence of God. Have you noticed that? I find that quite interesting. I felt the presence of God today, or I didn't feel the presence of God today. Who knows that Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But I want to feel God. If I feel God in church, it must have been a good service. You know, I want to feel God. And we're very much into wanting to feel blessed. Oh, I feel blessed today. I don't feel blessed today. Well, I am who I am because God says I am, and he says I'm blessed whether I feel it or not. But we're into how we feel, you know, and we always want to feel happy. I want to feel happy too, but some days some things happen and I don't feel so happy. Who's with me? You know? And then there are other Christians in our culture who, not so many, but there's still a significant number, who are into exploring the deep Bible truths that stimulates the intellect. A lot of people, you know, do that. And all of that stuff, feeling and, you know, deep Bible theology, all has its place. I get that. But Jesus actually gave us a different focus. And it's for us today here at Real Life Church. Jesus said this, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow Jesus. Jesus emphasized more than anything else that we will be blessed if we follow him. No matter how you feel, just follow Jesus. Follow his example. He's our template for living. Follow his example. Follow his teachings. Follow his instructions. Amen. The Christian life isn't about whether I feel up or down. It really doesn't. It's not about that. It's not about whether I feel the anointing or not. Whoa! I've been doing this for half a century. I've seen it all. Seriously. I tell you what, sometimes I've got up here and I have not felt any anointing at all. But I preach by faith, and let me tell you, I see God working in people's lives. You know, you know, we step out on God's word and his teaching. And then there's times, of course, when I do feel the anointing. But it's not whether I know any deep theology or not. It's not about that. And all of that has its place. It's all good. But the Christian life is about being like Jesus Christ. It's about being his disciple. And following Jesus is the greatest opportunity we will ever have. So that's one of the reasons why, or the reasons why, we've been doing the Red Letter Challenge. The Red Letter Challenge focused on the last 40 days has focused on five main themes that Jesus regularly talked about. First one was being, then forgiving, then serving, giving, and going. Can you remember any of those? So I'm just going to very briefly for 2-3 minutes to speak about being. The first theme was being. It's a very important theme. We remember that. You know, many years ago, I played lawn bowls. Just out of curiosity, has anybody ever played lawn bowls? It's actually a lot of fun. Very popular sport. But I discovered, and I wasn't very good at this game, but I discovered that the balls that you roll across the lawn had a weight bias on one side. Yeah. And that makes it impossible to roll the ball in a straight line. You just can't do it. It goes over there. If it's the other way around, it goes over there. I think most of us understand that. And no matter what you do, the ball always goes offline in lawn bowls. It has a weight bias. In the same way, we Christians today, we also have a massive weight bias that makes us go off the line too, even though we have good intent as Christians. And our modern day weight bias is that we are ridiculously busy people running here and running there. We're ridiculously busy. Generally, there's nothing wrong with staying busy and productive. Remember the saying, if you want something done, ask a busy person. And maybe there's some truth to that. But busyness becomes harmful when you're out of balance. And I suspect a lot of people are living lives that are out of balance, particularly Christians. A study found that 60% of Christians around the world are so busy. 60% of Christians around the world are so busy that they do not have any time to spend with God. And that's really, really sad. And so we learned in the Red Letter Challenge, if you can remember all those weeks ago, that learning to practice the art of being with Jesus was necessary to live in a balanced and fruitful life. We reminded that we can be with Jesus through prayer, worship, Bible reading, remember that, or simply being quiet and acknowledging Him. Being with Jesus complements our doing for Jesus. That's why Jesus, every day, Jesus calls out to you. He calls out to me and He says this, Mark 6:31, come and come and be with Him by ourselves in a quiet place and get some rest. The great preacher John Wesley came from a family of 17 children. Anybody here given birth to 17 children? You deserve a medal if you have. Amen. John Wesley described how his busy mother would take time each day to sit at the kitchen table and pull her apron over her head for 15 minutes every day. At some point in the day, she would sit down, get an apron, and pull it over her head for 15 minutes. That was her quiet place. And the children learned that when mummy was under her apron, they had to quiet down so she could be alone with her Savior. We're all just so ridiculously busy. We all have demands upon us. Every one of us in this room does. But our soul needs to be with Jesus. Find 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes if you can. Be with Jesus. Therefore, no matter how busy you are, find a place, find a time to be alone with Jesus. Our meme says it all. Our doing flows out of who we are and who we become when we spend time with Jesus Christ. Okay, that's me done. Over to Fritz. Put your hands together for Fritz.
Thank you, Dave. And in week two in the Red Letter Challenge, we considered forgiving. And we used the analogy of the couch. Can everyone remember the couch? And how nice and neat this couch is. And everything that we look at this couch, it presents well, it will sit well. And we all understand that there is something underneath the cushion. You know, something that we might even need to get protective clothing on to have a look at, a hazmat suit, as they say. And this is Dave's couch, so it's perfect. No. We know our pastor. But I know in my couch, there's crumbs. There's crusts of bread. Boiled lollies with maybe a small penicillin culture growing on it. Old battery remotes. And just stuff and muck underneath my cushion in my couch. You know, on the surface, my couch looks great. I even invite people to come and sit on my couch and share time with me. But really, underneath, there's lots of muck and junk and stuff I really don't want to deal with. Our lives are like that. On the outside, we look great. You will never see a bad picture of me online. I will never send you a picture that looks like I'm had a really bad week to your phone. On the outside, we look amazing. We even put on our Sunday best when we go to church. And I'm not just talking about our clothes. On the outside, we try and make ourselves flawless. But underneath, there's a bunch of stuff that we are not so proud of. And you know, other people around us, they get intimidated. They look at us and see flawless. So they see, look at us and they see perfection. And they look at themselves and think, shivers, I'm flawed. The reality is, deep, deep down, all of us deal with a great deal of pain. All of us are hurting in some shape or form. And many of us are not free. We're being held captive to the past. And it's like that old couch. We just can't get rid of it. And we keep encountering the same mess. But you know, God doesn't want us to be stuck in the past. He wants us to be free of the past. He wants us to let go of the past so that we can go forward with Him, in Him. And all that messy stuff, Christ nailed it to a cross. Dealt with it once and for all. All of it. For it is by grace that you are saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that none can boast. In any other religion in the world, you have to earn it. You have to be good. You have to do merit. You have to give of yourself till it hurts and more. Yet these religions are growing. Christianity. I don't understand. It is something that isn't earned. It's something that's freely given, freely received. It's this precious gift of God that is so valuable, so amazingly wealthy, that only the King of Kings can afford to do it and give it to us freely by grace, freely. We can't earn it. We can't. And Jesus didn't come for the super spiritual either. He came for the weak and the broken and the wobbly kneed and those that were not too proud to take His amazing gift of grace. Not too proud. And God assures us that everything is taken care of. And my meme is, there is no sin too big that God did not die for on the cross. There is no sin too big that God did not die for on the cross. I want to share with you some work I've done in my front lounge. I threw my couch out on Big Rubbish Day. But before I did that, I shopped for another couch. I hunted hard. In fact, I sat, and I know this because this is crazy, I sat on 26 different couches. They had to be the right width and length for my room. They had to be comfortable. Leather, easy care, easy clean. And they had to be at a price that I could afford. And guess what? My cushions now are sewn in. You can't actually open them and look what's beneath. You know, and that's exactly what God wants to do with each and every one of you. He wants to put your old couch on the verge. It's not your problem anymore. And He has got a hand-tailored couch for each and every one of you in a material and color of your liking, comfortable in that way that you can spend hours on it, snoozing, enjoying, cushions sewn in. Handmade by grace. Week two, we looked at forgiven. Let me remind you that you are forgiven. Next one.
Wonderful. Week three, we talked about serving. And in week three, I would like to just acknowledge that we had volunteers sign those cards who put their hands up and said, we are going all the way. We want to serve. So we had about 26 people. Come on, applaud for them. It is good to be obedient. That is so good. And just today, we are also celebrating volunteers. But we all know, not all of us will get that thank you, because we're not doing it unto man. We're doing it unto Christ. Yes, so we do not serve God in order to get more from Him. We have already received grace through Jesus Christ. And so when we serve, it is that desire for others to also receive that grace. So we're putting our hands up and saying, God, just as you have trusted me with yourself and you have given me grace, I want it for somebody else. So I'm putting my hand up to say, I will go. I will go, God. And we find when Jesus starts his ministry as well, he did the same thing. He looked for disciples. And at the end, he also commands, go and make disciples. Because that's what we are called to do, to serve. Service is the DNA of Christ. Serving others brings us joy, because as we serve others out of our new identity in Christ, we fulfill our God-given purpose. And it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So it is given. There is good works ahead of you that have already been crafted by God for you and I to do. It is a matter of finding your space. Where do I serve? You might serve in church. You might serve in street chaplaincy. You might serve in the schools. You might serve in the hospitals. But what we are all called to do, and nobody is exempt, we are all called to serve. We are all called to serve. And just remind yourself every day, God, where am I serving? That is the heart of Christ for us. Jesus had a heart of service. And so when we serve, we reflect the heart of Jesus Christ as well. We care for our orphans. We feed the hungry. We clothe others. We let our light shine. That's what we're doing. We let our light shine for all the world to see. And as they see us, that's when they will ask, what happened? And they can acknowledge through what we are doing that indeed God is at work through us. Service is not about us, but it is about God working through you. Amen. And so our attitude has to be transformed to reflect the heart of Christ. And that is when we respond and say, because you say so, God, I will. Week 4.
Wow. Can you believe we have come to the end of the Red Letter Challenge? You know, one of the things that I have loved about the last 40 days is that we've all done this together. And we've all been a part of something which focuses in on exactly the direction and the guidance that Jesus gave us through his word. But for me, what kind of struck me about doing the Red Letter Challenge is that Jesus' words are often, they're just straight. He is not politically correct. He just goes right to the core of an issue. And he just communicates it in a very powerful way. And this was particularly pertinent when we looked at the target of giving. And our friend Zach obviously got on board with being direct, and he made this bold statement. It said, I'm convinced it's impossible to be a stingy Christian. And that kind of makes us all feel a little bit awkward. But there are just two thoughts that come from the Red Letter Challenge on giving that I want to challenge myself with, but I also want to challenge you with this morning. And that it's that each one of us are only pilgrims passing through. This is not our final home. And yet so often we can put so much of our heart, of our thought, of our effort into this life. And I think I've shared with you that in the last month, I've been to 4 different funerals of people who never ever thought their life was going to come to an end, but very swiftly, very quickly it did. And as I went through that, I thought, wow, this life is so short. It can end at any moment. And I don't say that to be negative, but I say it as a challenge that as Christ followers, we are operating under a different currency. And the currency of heaven is people. Because when we pass from this life into the next, the only thing that we can take with us from planet Earth is people. So when we live this generous life that we've been talking about, our money goes to places that touches other people's lives, that impacts other people's lives. Now, our money goes to places that we can't. And so can I encourage you, as we take away different truths, different challenges from this journey that we've been on, to put your legs to the teachings of Jesus. Don't just say, oh, well, wasn't that great? That was really terrific. But if you're not already involved in sowing into our missions, get involved. You may never have felt challenged to be a participator, but take away the treasure, the goal from the Red Letter Challenge, and make a choice. As Pastor David has shared, you may not feel a great anointing. It may just be sheer obedience, where you say, actually, I'm going to be a participator in the currency of heaven. Yeah? The second thought I want to challenge and inspire you with is that each one of us, whether we mean to or not, whether we're deliberate about it or whether we're not, we will leave a legacy to our children and to our children's children. And, you know, we, as Pastor David has said, are being watched, whether we like it or not. Our children are looking at the way we live out our faith. And our children's children will also be looking at the way we live out our faith. And so, will you leave a legacy of generosity? Will you live a large life where you don't just, it's not just all about me and setting ourselves up for whatever it is that you're looking to for the future? And that doesn't mean that we neglect ourselves or our family, but it means that we are called to live a large life, not just in faith, but in our finances too. And habits are caught, not taught. Our example and our actions speak so much louder than any words we'll ever say. And you've heard me share that myself and my husband Rod have had parents that were so incredibly generous, not just with their money, but with their investment into people, with their time, yeah, with their words of encouragement. And so we saw that. We saw them practicing random acts of kindness and generosity. And in turn, we have endeavoured to do that with our own children. And on Thursday morning, my daughters, Amy was sleeping over and my daughters woke up and they walked down to the local coffee shop on the boulevard, and they bought a coffee and a croissant and had breakfast together. And just very casually, I heard one of them say to Rod, "Hey, thanks, Dad, for the money for the coffee and croissant." And I just thought, "Yep, there it is again. That's exactly what my dad used to do: slip me a 50 for petrol." Yeah, and it's just part of a lifestyle of generosity. It's not something that we have to necessarily work at, but it comes from a heart of thanksgiving. It comes from a heart of generosity and thankfulness. I want to finish this morning by reading 2 scriptures from the words of Jesus. One is found in Malachi 3:10. And this is a time when God is so confident about his principles that he actually says, test me on this. Go on, test me. And this is what he says. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. John 3 verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. God showed his love for you and I by giving us his Son. Jesus showed his love for us by giving up his very own life. And when we give, we reflect the heart and the character of our God. So can I pray a blessing on every single one of you this morning, that this is just the beginning. The Red Letter Challenge was just in embryo form of what God is really wanting to do in our hearts of Real Life Church. Yeah? And so, Father, I pray that every person who calls Real Life Church their home will be profoundly challenged and touched and inspired by what we have heard through what we've done in the last 40 days. But I just pray that there would be a ripple effect, Father God, that there would just be such an outworking of the truth of the red letters of the Bible in the hearts and the attitudes and the actions and the minds of every person in this room this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, your champions.
Can we put our hands together for Fritz, Farr and Beswin? Well, the last section that we looked at was going. That's the last part of the Red Letter Challenge. And we've just had some of our church go overseas and they've come back safe again. I can see Jim. Jim's back and Karina's back. And Ivan's back, so it's good to see them come back, isn't it? And we are a church that loves to send people out on missions trips, but the word going that we looked at was far more than that. And it's based on these scriptures. It says, Jesus said, go into all the world and to some people. No, everyone. And then, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make disciples of all nations. You know, ladies and gentlemen, whether you feel like it or not, you've actually received so much from Jesus Christ. And now is really the time to share what we've received. Freely you have received, freely give. You know, a number of years ago, it was actually on a missions trip. Ivan and I, we had a little break. And we were in Sabah in Malaysia. Ivan and I climbed Mount Kinabalu. And Mount Kinabalu is 4,000 meters high. And it's the highest mountain peak in Southeast Asia. And Mount Kinabalu, if you're into mountain climbing or whatever, is rated as an amateur mountain climb. But still, you're not allowed to go up it without a guide, so we had to pay money for a guide. And it was a really tough climb for both of us, and it lasted over 2 days. We slept on the side of the mountain and kept on going. And by the time we got back, our legs were sore, and we found it hard to breathe, by the way, as we got past about the 2,500-meter mark. It became hard to breathe, and it became even harder as we got closer to the top. But we kept pushing ourselves, encouraging each other and competing with each other so you could go faster. We encouraged ourselves as we followed our guide to the top. And eventually we did make it to the top. And we then saw the sunrise. That was our goal, to see a sunrise from the top of the Mount Kinabalu. And it was just amazing. And it was a great adventure. And I will always remember this great adventure. But you know, when we were about to climb up, there were some people down the bottom and they were playing it safe. These people were hanging around. They were just having a look. They looked at the mountain and saw how beautiful it was. But some of these people were not prepared to climb the mountain. And I thought, how boring for them to stay down the bottom and just have a look when you can climb the mountain. And so they missed out on a wonderful adventure. I mean, we've got stories to tell. They had no stories to tell. And so I'm glad Ivan and I, we made it to the top. And you know, there's something about a great adventure. You know, God loves great adventures too. Amen. There's something about going on a great adventure. I think we were wired up for great adventures. And God has given us a great adventure, the greatest adventure of all. And the great adventure of the Christian life. Listen, and you know what I'm going to say. is to go and win other people to Jesus Christ. I think leading somebody to Jesus is the greatest adrenaline rush of anything. Amen. The great adventure of the Christian life is to go and share your story of what Jesus has done for you. The great adventure of the Christian life is to go out there and just shine for Jesus. Amen. The great adventure of the Christian life is to go and conquer the world for Jesus. Do something outrageous. Do something risky. Conquer the world for Jesus. You know, come against the works of the devil. Cast out a few demons. Amen. And see people delivered and set free. And then when we get to heaven, we will be talking about our great adventures. Let me tell you how I led so-and-so to the Lord. Let me tell you how I cast a demon out of so-and-so. Why hang around the bottom? I triple dare you to tell people about Jesus. Amen. Do yourself a favor. Also, we live nearly finished, and we learned in the Red Letter Challenge that Jesus has invited us all to enjoy the adventure of eternity and go and win others to him, everybody. Now, sometimes it's really scary. I can remember sharing with people, I've had death threats. And that was just from Rochelle. Amen. I've had some serious death threats. Not for a little while, but I used to generate a lot of death threats. There can be pain sometimes when you're sharing. You can be misunderstood sometimes, and it can cost you at times, and it can be socially awkward at times. Absolutely. And because of these unpleasant aspects, some people then, they play it safe. They think, oh, it's too hard. I don't want to be socially awkward. And they refuse to go on the great Christian adventure of sharing Jesus with others. And they stay at the bottom and just live the same old mediocre life. Same old, same old, TV on at night. Wow, that was great. Can't find anything again. Well, you've been doing it for 500 times, haven't you figured it out? There's nothing on TV, ain't there? But Jesus calls us to throw caution to the wind. When was the last time you threw caution to the wind? We get old, we stop throwing caution to the wind. Just be outrageous. Throw caution to the wind and follow the divine guide who is the Holy Spirit and go on a life journey of sharing Jesus with the people in our lives. Do you want to go and make disciples for Jesus? Do you want to be part of the adventure that Jesus has called us to? I've made a mistake with my notes. I've put them in back to front. Who knows if Pastor Dave doesn't make mistakes, and I made a mistake. Well, I'll keep running with what I've got. Amen. In the Bible times, a rabbi would gather disciples around him, and Jesus was a rabbi. And these disciples would literally follow their rabbi so closely. I'll demonstrate it. Could you pretend you're a rabbi, Fritz? And he's a rabbi, and to be a rabbi was a really big deal. And remember, Jesus is a rabbi, but the disciples that he followed, so you just keep looking ahead, they would follow him so closely, and this is so true, they would follow him closely, and they were listening to what he was saying, but the roads weren't sealed, they were dusty, and so as they walked along, the dust of the rabbi would kick up on the disciples, and the most enthusiastic disciple would be the one covered in the dust of the rabbi. Do you get that? In fact, they had a saying, you can stop walking now, actually you can stand if you want. They had a saying that you could tell a student's rabbi because invariably he'd walk with the rabbi for so long he started walking, physically walking the same way as his rabbi. Is that interesting? And so they had this blessing in those days. It says, a rabbi of that day would bless a student with these words, may you be covered by the dust of your rabbi. And if you want to be part of the adventure that Jesus has called you to, then live in the dust of your rabbi, Jesus, and it will happen. Amen.